Okay. Morning, everybody. Interesting topic. Well, the halachas have been familiar to a lot of us, but where they come from is an interesting discussion. We call the Shia Hilchos Shabbos that has been introduced by the Nevi'im. What have the Nevi'im added to our Shabbos? And it comes from a two psukim in Yeshaya Navi, Yeshaya Perek Nun Ches, Pasuk Yud Gimel, and Pasuk Yud Dalet. The Navi is giving Musa to Klal Yisrael. What else does the Navi do? Telling them to go back from their sins and keep the mitzvah. And then he tells them about the importance of Shabbos. And he says, psukim that some is familiar. Some people actually say these psukim in Kiddush on Shabbos morning. Some people don't. But what is the lashon? In Toshiv Mishabbos Raglecho, Asos Chafatzecho B'Yom Kochi. You should go back, you should do Toshiv, we'll say, is the Lashon of Tshuva. So you turn the way you walk to go back to keeping Shabbos from Asos Chafatzecho B'Yom Kochi, from doing your own business on the holy day, which is referred to Shabbos. The Karas on the Shabbos Oneg, but what you should be doing is you should call this day a day of Shabbos Oneg, Shabbos enjoyment. Likdoish Hashem Mechubad, for the holiness of Hashem it is honored. V'chibadato me'aseis tzochecho, you should honor it in a way that is, you should honor it in a way that me'aseis tzochecho is from stuff doing your own things. Taking care of your needs and talking about your issues that you need to talk about. Oh, tis anagal Hashem, says the next passage. Then you will rejoice with Hashem. And will elevate you onto the highest points of the land. And I will feed you the inheritance of Yaakov, your father. Kipi Hashem diber, because this word of Hashem, which is very, the last four words, Kipi Hashem Diber, is very important over here. The Navi is saying that what I've just told you is the word of Hashem. I didn't make it up, as it's not a takana, it's not like a gzera that Chazal added in order to enhance, to protect us from getting anything further. Chazal made many, many halachas midrabanan, as we call them, which are what we call the Lashon of Chazal is Biko Matsu V'Gadru Bogedir. They found an open field and they put a fence around it. The most of Tatan's Chazal are done in order that we shouldn't lead from this to something else, so they stop us already earlier. For example, Muktzah was enacted that if you stop a person from picking up a pen, then he's not going to come to write. So that was a Gedir that they did. But it's a Durabonah. This what he's talking about is to honor Shabbos, to enjoy Shabbos, to stop doing your business. He says, Kipi Hashem Dibra is from Hashem. It is referred to by Chazal as Dibra Kabbalah. It's generally, we've always spoken about this Daraisis and this Darabonah, the things that are from the Torah and the things that are rabbinical injunctions that they added later as Takanas, as Zeris. And we have different ways of approaching a Daraisa. When something comes from the Torah, then we treat it as very severe, and if we have the suffix, then we will go what we call suffix performer, we will go more stringent. Whereas if it's a rabbanon, you can go to the lenient side. An example, if a person ate food, and he ate enough to be satiated, then he has a chil from the Torah, after you eat, and you fill, then you need to make a bracha. So once you've eaten and you've had satiation, then you have a mitzvah min haTorah to bench. If a person didn't remember, was schmoozing, yeah, the bench was out, they stand shit on mine. And he's sitting there and I was like, did we bench, did we not bench? I can't remember. Happens. You're so engrossed in doing something else, you don't remember whether you did it or not. That is a suffix in Dorah. This is a suffix in a halacha that comes from the Torah. And we say, he has to go to Chumrah, he has to go on this more stringent, and therefore he needs to bench out of Sopik, which would require, if he tackled it the first time around, he'd end up benching twice. But because it's a Sopik, we say Sopik, the Arise of the Chum. Whereas, if a person only ate a Kazai Sopik, and he's not satiated. So the requirement to bench after eating a kezayis is only midrabbanan. If after such a meal, eating, a person didn't know whether he said he's benching or his bracha achrona, so now it becomes a safek derabbanan, and we say, okay, well then you go without. You don't say benching, because it could be you did do it already, and safek derabbanan. So that's one of the differences between a daraisa and a derabbanan. Also, we know in Hilchos Shabbos is going to come anytime there's a terech, you have a terech mitzvah, and you have a need for a chole or something like that. So you can be doichy, you can push aside a rabbinic restriction, but not one from the Torah. So if a person needs to take medicine because he's ill, so not taking medicine on Shabbos is an issur derabbanan. When he's ill, he can take medicine. But if a person is ill and he wants to light a fire in order to warm up the room and feel better, that is an issur deraisa that he can't do. What he can do, you can get a goy to do it, because Amir Le'akum, telling a goy to do a menacha for you, is an issur derabbanan, and not an issur deraisa, and therefore you can tell a goy to do it for you in a case of illness. So those are we've seen this often, the difference between a deraisa and a derabbanan. Also, you can sometimes have conflicting issues. In order to be mekayim a deraisa, you need to be over on a derabbanan. Sometimes when you need to do something, something else gets in your way, due to certain circumstances. So we say that the Daraisa will be the Rabbanan. You keep the Daraisa and you ignore the Rabbanan. There are certain cases where Rabbanan hemidus divrayim al divrei Torah. There's an interesting case, Shabbos. A person put a lump of dough in his oven. Now, in the olden days, putting dough in the oven wasn't that you put it on a piece of, wax paper, baking paper, parchment paper, whatever you want to call it, or with a bit of flour on a baking tray. And then when it was baked, you took it out and it came apart nice and easy. In the olden days, you had an earthenware oven and you stuck the dough to the wall of the oven. And then it baked from the heat of the wall and from the heat of the fire. That's why the bread came out uneven, because one side will bake quicker than the other side. That's why there's an Indian to look at your challah before you cut it, which side you're going to cut, you should cut the nicer side. But he stuck the dough against the side of the oven. The problem is that this person who put the dough in his oven did this after Shabbos came in. Now this dough is in the oven and is baking. When the dough changes from raw to baked, discussion in halacha at which point it passed that stage, but when it passes that stage, he's going to be over on an issur deraisa of asiyah. So he's going to have one of the lamates melachos is cooking, baking, and he's going to be over on asiyah. If you put something in the oven and you take it out again before it cooks, you haven't been over on a deraisa. You're over drabana. Drabana means drabana, you're not allowed to put it in the stove. Even if you take it off before it cooks, you're not allowed to put it there again. That's a drabana in order to avoid that we should get to a deraisa. Now, there's another halacha, is that when you stick and when you have pus, when you have bread, a dough that is stuck to the side of the oven, you may not remove it on Shabbos because it requires a certain amount of skill in order to remove it, and therefore Chachamim considered this action which requires skill as something that you shouldn't do on Shabbos. So if you've baked your bread before Shabbos, now it's just still stuck in the oven. So there's a whole discussion of how would you get your bread out. If you need your bread, you don't. If you don't need the bread, you anyway should take it out. If you need the bread, so you should do it with a shin, or you should do it like this, you do it like that. There's ways of, they discuss it, maybe. But essentially, taking bread out of the oven is an issur derabbanan. So now you've got an interesting conflict over here. A man put dough in the oven after Shabbos came in, and now he wants to do tshuva, and he says, well, one second. If I leave it in the oven, it's going to get baked, and I'm going to be over in the deraisa. If I take it out of the oven, I'm going to be over a drabanon of radiyas hapas, of removing the dough, which is stuck to the wall of the oven, but at least I'll save myself from the deraisa. And there's a tzad to say, there's actually a tzad that is entertained in the poskim, that it should be also for him to take it out. And Chazal said, if he did that on purpose, let him rot. Because he who did it the mazid, let him rot. We have a zera, and then mamli the zera the machon deraisa. Lamayin halacha lamayisa, we say that he should take it out, even though he's going to be over drabanon. Because basically, if you tell a person you've got a choice in front of you, leave it in and you're over Daraita, take it out, you're over Drabanan, this will anyway be over Drabanan. So what are Chazal telling us not to, you know, the Mami Direya? But that is when it comes to the person himself who stuck the bread into the oven, will say, look, you better take it out and save yourself an issue Daraita. It's just possible to, if he went to his accountant and asked him what to do, he'd say, listen, this is a big thing, this is a small thing, big outweighs small. You don't need to have a lot of seichel to come to that conclusion. But that is for the person who stuck it in. An onlooker, someone else who saw what happened, we say it's also for him to take it out of the oven. Why should I be Oven and Trabono to save him from a Doraisa, which he did on purpose? It's a whole discussion. If he did a mistake, what would be his other circumstances? And then we get it from there, leads on to the discussion of breaking Shabbos in order to save a person from being Mechalo Shabbos multiple times. You have, for example, if a child was taken into captivity, and we feel that if the child is left there, then he will not keep mitzvahs anymore. And now an opportunity to save the child, the rescue mission, will work best on Shabbos, but it will require Chilul Shabbos in order to do it. So we fast and we mechalel Shabbos once, so that we can save the child and he'll keep Shabbos many times. So that whole discussion grows out of this issue. But how did we get to that? We were discussing that when you've got a conflict of a Doraisa and Drabonon, generally you'll do the Doraisa and you push aside the Drabonon. Yet there are times Chachamim had the strength to say, no, you have to keep Drabonon, b'shev al taseh, as long as it's passive and not active. They don't actively tell you to go do something against Doraisa. But if it's passively, then they can enact it that you do it in prayer. Another example would be the fact that we don't blow shofar on Rosh Hashanah, or when it falls on Shabbos, or take a lulav, which on first day Sukkot, which falls on Shabbos, where the mitzvah to blow shofar or to take lulav on the first day Sukkot is from the Torah. And Chazal, for a reason that they had, Shema Yavoi Lahoitu Lelamed, the person might carry his shofar to his teacher to learn how to blow. A lot to be discussed and what that reason means and how that would change everything, but that's what they write. And because of that, they made a prayer, no blown shofar on Shabbos. We mevatel a mitzvah asay, we ignore a positive commandment in order to mekayem a drabana. So there are times they can do b'shev al taseh. But generally speaking, a daraisa is stronger than a drabana. A daraisa, when you have a sopik, you go to chumrah. When you have a drabana, you go to chumrah. Now we've got something which comes from the Navi, and the Navi says, Kifi Hashem Dibir, Hashem said it, and therefore he's not making it up, it's not a Drabana, what is it? So it's referred to as Dibir Kabbalah. Dibir Kabbalah is of a very high standard, and it gets close to a Dibir Torah. It's not a Doraisa in the same level, and therefore a mitzvah in a Torah is greater than it, but it's treated like a mitzvah from the Torah, and therefore if you have a Sopik, for example, you will go l'chumra, not l'kula. You'll go take the stringent side, not the more lenient side. There's an interesting tshuva of the Chasam Sofer, and he writes in Lashon that what the Navi was doing was, there was a tradition that went back a couple of generations in the Navi. It wasn't that late, but there was a tradition that went back to Moshe Rabbeinu that he received these dinim halacha Moshe Mitzina. It was part of a Torah Sheval Peh type of tradition. We have these halachas that we call halacha l'moshe m'sinai, and what he was doing was he was then publicizing it and writing it in the Navi. He says for us it gets a written din. So how is that? It's some sort of upgrading of the halacha l'moshe m'sinai by writing it in the Navi. Another just an aside on the subject of Divrei Kabbalah, the mitzvah of Purim is written in the Megillah. The Megillah is one of our Sefer Kodesh, it was canonized, and therefore what's written in the Megillah is considered as Divrei Kabbalah. It's more than just a Derabbanan, and therefore when you have a conflict between Mitzvah Purim and other Mitzvahs, you have to weigh it out differently. For example, one of the examples brought down is we have a klal mevatling Beis HaMedrash mipnei Mikra Megillah. We cancel the public learning session so that they can read Megillah. Now, learning Torah is a Doraisa. Megillah is Medivah Kabbalah. But it has so much weight that we will stop the public learning session in order to read the Megillah and then it can continue after. Or another example is when a person loses one of his seven relatives, Rahman al-Islam, and now he's in limbo between the time that the relative passed away and the burial. That is a tkupa which is called animus, before avelus. Avelus only starts once the person is buried. Until the actual burial, person is the matter of animus. Animus has two things to it. There's a form of avelus, but very different. And there's also a separate issue is that we consider the person to be oskar mitzvah, possibly a mitzvah. Someone who's doing one mitzvah and at the same time is unable to do another one, so then he's possible to do another one. If you can do both at the same time, there's a discussion. But generally speaking, we consider an Oyin to be someone who's oskar mitzvah. He now has on his head the requirement of burying his relative, and therefore, at this moment, he gets into a status of aninus and is potter from other mitzvahs. Someone who's an Oyin doesn't make brachos, he doesn't bench on his food, he doesn't daven, he doesn't put tefillin on, none of those things. Once the relative has been buried, then he becomes an Ovel. He's chayv in avelus, he's got to take off his shoes, he's got to sit low, or whatever it is, but he's chayv in all the mitzvahs at the same time, and therefore he catches up, tries to catch up on his brachos and his davening, etc. Now, one of the things that an Oinen is forbidden to do is to eat meat. Interesting, an Ovel may eat meat, but an Oinen may not. An Oinen may not eat meat. What happens if a person gets into the situation of aninus over Purim? And Purim is a mitzvah of Suda, and Suda should be done. And now he's got the mitzvah of Suda's Purim, but he's also got the status of an Oinen who's also to eat meat. If it's Esher L'Kayim Shneim, you know the burial is going to take place soon, and there'll be time after the burial to have the Suda, so fine. Then you do both, then you just do the burial and then you do the Suda. But if not, if you know the burial is only going to be after nightfall, and he hasn't had his Suda yet, and now he's got this issue to deal with, so we pass him that he should take eat meat. So here you see an interesting case of a Divrei Kabbalah, because of the stringency of a Divrei Kabbalah, can be doicha the issue for an Oinen to eat meat. So that was just an introduction into the whole idea of something which is not min haTorah, and it's not a Rabbanon, but we see it in the Navi, and the Navi was introducing us to various concepts, which when I tell them to you, you'll say, oh, but we all keep them. But just we're going to put it into guidelines and understand it and discuss these halachos. So let's go back on the pasuk and then we'll take it apart and see what we learned from the pasuk. Again, the pasuk says in Toshiv Shabbos Raglecha, if you go back and bring back your way you walk towards Shabbos, asos chafotzecha b'yom kochi, from doing your business matters, your own issues on this holy day, v'karasa l'Shabbos oneg, and you call to the Shabbos the day of enjoyment, likdosh Hashem mechubet, to honor this in the honor of Hashem. V'chibadetoy me'asos tochecha, you honor Shabbos from doing your own ways. Mintoy cheftecha v'davadavah, from doing your things and speaking your issues. Then, os tisanegan Hashem, v'chavti avom se'oretz, I'll put you up on the higher places, v'chavticha nachas Yaakov avicha, you will be fed the inheritance of Yaakov your father, kifi Hashem divrei. So the Chazal take each part of the pasuk and learn different things from it. We learn from the words "v'karasa l'Shabbos oneg" that there's a mitzvah to have oneg Shabbos, to be mekadesh the day. That means the actual kiddush that we make on Shabbos comes from the idea of "v'karasa l'Shabbos oneg." Kiddush from Makom Suda comes from "v'karasa," is a deal from "v'karasa l'Shabbos oneg," where you koyin v'karasa. Where you call out the Shabbos, Sham Tehei Oneg, that's where you have your meal. To be Mechabit Shabbos, that's where you get an idea of wearing Shabbos clothing and having a house clean. It's all from this Mekarasa the Shabbos Oneg. Likdoish Hashem Mechubed, so they learn it that it's referring also to the other holy day that means Yom Tov. Also, we learn from here that on Yom Kippur, when you cannot honor the day through eating, so the way to do it is to do it with clean clothing and having a table set and lighting candles. V'chibadatoi, from the word v'chibadatoi, we learn that you shouldn't have the same clothing that you wear on Shabbos that you wear during the week. You have Shabbos clothing, which makes it more honorable. V'chibadatoi me'asos tochecha, from you honor Shabbos from refraining from doing your way. Tochecha is the way that you go. So we see that the way you walk on Shabbos should be different from the way you walk during the week. Also, we learn it says derochecha, your way. That means that if it's Hashem's way, then the restriction doesn't apply. So when you walk to something you want, then you have to walk differently. But when you walk to a mitzvah, you're going to shul, then you may do it in the regular way. We'll see in a moment what that means. The same thing when it says v'chibata me'afes tochecha min tzoich hafotecha, that the place that you go to should also not be something in order to take care of your business. But it's only min tzoich hafotecha, it's your business, but if it's chesed shemayim, you're going to do tzedakah, you're going to do a mitzvah, whatever it is, then you may go to that place. And v'daber davar, that you should not talk about weekday issues on Shabbos, and also that only it says v'daber davar, it says to talk, forbid thinking. Thought is permissible. So we'll get to each case and discuss it as we get there. So this is now just an introduction to what we're going to be dealing with now onwards. So the first thing we spoke about is that a person should be Ma'anik Shabbos, and that he should have a different way that he walks on Shabbos. What does that mean to walk differently? Now, Halacha is that a person should not run on Shabbos. Running is considered a weekday activity. When you're in a hurry to get somewhere, it means that you're not relaxed and you're running to do business. Therefore, running on Shabbos is the way we do things in the week. Shabbos is not a time for running. And also, the Lashon of the Pasuk is, you shouldn't take a grossly big step. It's the way of a person in a hurry to take big steps. On Shabbos, you take smaller steps. That only means that you have to walk like an old man who can't put one foot in front of the other. There is a discussion of what is Psi Gasa and not Psi Gasa, maybe an Amo, a step of about, the Amo would be, say, 50 centimeters, that's 1.5 to 2 feet. And then between feet, you don't have to put, there is actually a discussion of whether you need to have to walk, Akev Le'etzba, that your heel should not go in front of your toes, but that we don't pass them at that. The idea is that on Shabbos, you walk in a calm, relaxed manner, and you don't show that you're hurrying something. However, if there are other issues involved, for example, it's raining and you want to get home before you get through and through soaked to the bone, so then we say you're not hurrying for a weekday thing, you're hurrying to get away from the rain, and therefore you may hurry to get home, or there are places where you might be walking through a neighborhood that is not very safe, and you don't want to make your sojourn through this area any longer than necessary, so you may walk faster there as well, or any other, when there's purpose, when there's need for saving you from something, like a shasat chak or whatever you need to get somewhere to help someone or something like that, or help someone that's already the next getter. But then you may walk faster or even run. For children, we say that running and running games is mutter, l'chore, even over the age of a mitzvah, because the definition is, if they're running for enjoyment, which is something that young people do, and we're not talking about someone who's running for health. He tells you, I enjoy it. It makes me fresh. It gets the chemicals in my brain, serotonin levels raised and all the rest. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about someone who actually enjoys the running, like a child who's playing a game, having relay races, they're playing various games, that they catch and hide and seek, and they're running this game. So that is all considered as a time of bifnei atzmo. That's not considered weekday running. Rather, that is considered as tanug, and therefore it's mutter for children to run in such circumstances. There's actually an interesting thing discussed. If the running in itself is not so enjoyable, but the purpose you're running for is enjoyable, so you say the end justifies the means, and here's one of the cases where we will allow that. And I'll give an example that is common around here. And an emergency vehicle comes to the neighborhood, you hear the siren, and the kids come running to the street to see what is all the commotion about. So they're not running to enjoy the running. They're running to see why the ambulance, fire engine, police car has arrived in the neighborhood. And if they don't run, they're going to miss it, or they're not going to be one of the first ones to see what's happening. So then the end, the getting to the place, is what's giving them the impetus to run, so that becomes mutter for them to run as well. Running for health is a separate issue of inyan refuah, not so much because of the running, because the person enjoys it, but it's an inyan refuah, that a person, that anything which has to do where you do this activity to increase your health status, even if it's just to bring on an appetite, and you should eat on Shabbos, we say that it's also to do on Shabbos. It's a gzeira, it's an interesting gzeira. It's a gzeira of taking medication, which is gzeira of shvikas amamonim. Medicine in the olden days had to be crushed and prepared, and therefore you had an isotokon, so then it's gzeira not to take medicine. Once you can't take medicine, so you can't do anything which will be related to medicine. Certain medical issues can be done if there's no medicine or equivalent. And basically, people who run in order to bring on a sweat or to bring an appetite or to get healthier, we're going to say that on Shabbos that's asur, whereas walking on Shabbos is mutter, even if you're doing it for health reasons. Walking is something that everybody does, even for non-health reasons. People take walks for enjoyment. So when you do an activity which the standard human being does for non-health reasons, and you do it for health reasons, it will be mutter. Like drinking Coca-Cola. Everybody drinks Coca-Cola for enjoyment. And one person drinks it for health reasons, so we'll say he's drinking healthy food. He has in the back of his mind, it's going to help him for this match. Someone drinks a cup of wine, not because he enjoys the wine, but he needs it for some health reason. That is what we call Michael Breen. That is the food of healthy people. And therefore, the fact that he takes it for medicinal reasons, we ignore because people do. So walking would be Mutan Shabbos for health reasons, but not running. One more thing to do with running on Shabbos is that running is mutter if it is done for a mitzvah purpose. As you said, it's the suffix tells us that it's referring to you, your ways, and therefore only when it is subjective to your life, that's something that you need, do we say that don't run on Shabbos, don't walk the way you walk during the week, walk differently on Shabbos. But if you're doing it for a sake of a mitzvah, so then it's for Hashem's sake, so then it's not included in the restriction, then it is mutter. So to run to shul would be permissible on Shabbos. You're in a hurry to get to a shiur or some other, or to get home so that you can have your meal, a mitzvah, or to welcome your guests. Whatever the mitzvah involves, the running is, the purpose of the running is for the sake of a mitzvah, then we'll say that it is permitted on Shabbos. Now, to go somewhere, it's interesting that we have this restriction, but you can't go wherever you want if, when you go to this place, it is apparent that the purpose of your sojourn to that place, the reason you're going there, is to take care of your needs, take care of non-Shabbos needs. So, for example, a person has a field that needs to be watered, needs to be weeded. So you cannot walk in the direction of that field on Shabbos if that's the purpose of your walk, to get closer. The field is outside the city, is beyond the tchum, so you can't get there on Shabbos. So what do you want to do? You want to walk till the end of the tchum already on Shabbos afternoon. So when Shabbos goes out, you will be able to get there quicker. So you only have to be out in the dark for a much shorter amount of time, and then cross over the tchum, get to your field, and do what you need to do, and then come back. If the purpose of his walking out is to do something which you can't do on Shabbos, he wants to pick fruit, he wants to weed, he wants to water, whatever it is in his field, since the goal of your walk is to get to something which is also done on Shabbos, the walking itself becomes awesome. If he's going to do something which is essentially mutter on Shabbos, but he has a side restriction. For example, he wants to pick the fruit on Friday and it's in a container and I just bring it back. So he's got a problem, either the field is out of the tchum or there's no eruv and he can't carry it, but essentially there's nothing wrong with carrying food on Shabbos. There's a problem of carrying it in a place where there's no eruv, but lo yatzur, if there would have been an eruv in this area, he could have carried it home. So he's not going out to do something which is also on Shabbos. There's a practicality that he can't do it now, but it's not something that is intrinsically asur. Therefore, a person may walk to the tchum in order to go bring in fruit that has been picked already. So essentially, in order for going somewhere to be asur on Shabbos, you need three conditions for it to be asur, which means if one of them are missing, then others will be mutter. Number one is that you're going for something which is asur to do. As I said, for example, he's going to pick fruit. So he's just walking towards the field that he may not do. Number two, the action that he's going to do has no heter way of doing it. As I said, if he's going to bring the fruit back to his home, so right now it's asur, but if there was an erev, it would be mutter. So therefore, true, what he's walking out to the end of the chum in order to do something which right now is forbidden for him to do, but essentially it's not something that would be forbidden on every Shabbos. Had he prepared an erev in advance, he could have done it now also. Therefore, it doesn't fit into the category of something which is, you cannot walk out in order to do such a thing, because you could really do it on Shabbos. Just there's circumstantial problems. Whereas the example we gave when he wants to pick the fruit, there's no way you can pick fruit on Shabbos. You can't, there's nothing you can prepare on Friday to make the picking mutter on Shabbos. Yeah, when it comes to carrying the fruit, you could have prepared. So that's one difference. In order for it to be asur, it must be something which there is no way out. If it's something that's asur, but there's a way out, you could have built an eruv, you could have made a chum, or whatever it is, then you may walk out to that place on Shabbos. And the third condition is that it must be noticeable what he's doing. And that is that if a person walks down the block, you have a plot of land within the city, and he walks halfway to that plot of land, and he sits down on a bench in a park somewhere. Now, he knows that it's a 20-minute walk to the field. He's walked 10 minutes already now, or even if he walks 20 minutes, and he's sitting outside the field, but he's sitting outside the field and enjoying the blue sky and the nice wind and all the rest of the birds, and he's waiting for Shabbos to go out, and when Shabbos goes out, he's going to get up and cross the road and go into the field and do and pick the fruit that he wanted to pick. But it's not nikkun mitoch ma'asov, it's not noticeable for what he's done, is that he's going to pick fruits. Whereas, if a person has a field outside the city, and he walks to the end of the tchum, he goes to a place where people don't usually go, unless they prepare him to go further, so then it's nikkun, then what did he go for? He went to go to his field to do something awesome. So if the action that he's doing, the walking that he's doing, appears to be noticeable that it's for something which he cannot do on Shabbos, and then he can't do it. So again, you need three conditions. If you don't have these three conditions, then it will be mutter to go there. Okay, I think I'm going to stop there for today. And let's share next week we continue on with Chetzachar and go into other examples of what we've just introduced from the Navi, from the Dabra Dabra, and the various things you can do on Shabbos.